You're listening to That MMA Show.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another edition of That MMA Show. And today, folks, we are going to be talking about Bellator 149, or as some people are out there calling it, the Freak Show. We saw a co-main event which featured Kimbo Slice taking on Dada 5000, which, if you've got numbers in your name, not so good. Anyway, we'll talk all about the results of it. It was a terrible, terrible fight in the way of mixed martial arts. It was in a ratings bonanza. 2.5 million people watched at the top point. The big thing, though, in this one that we're going to talk about is the fact of the illegal knee that took out Ken Shamrock from Royce Gracie. It happened basically early in the fight, but what I've went out and done is, of course, I've got Ken Shamrock to come talk about it. So in just a few minutes, we are going to have Ken Shamrock on the phone with us. But first, let's talk about this co-main event. Dada 5000 and Kimbo Slice, it looked like back in the Street Days videos. It was a, again, as I said, it was a ratings just absolutely amazing. And these two guys, you know, they got in there and they did what they had to do. They did what MMA people do. They did what street fighters do, whatever you want to call it. They did a whole lot of stuff that a lot of people haven't done, and that's step in the cage and fight. The thing that they didn't do was look like they trained cardio. This is only the second time I think I've ever seen a stand-up from a mount position that happened to Kimbo Slice. It came down to Kimbo Slice won the fight by a knockout in the third round. The only problem was is they believe now that Dada 5000 had either renal failure or cardiac arrest or both due to the massive amount of weight that he dropped for this fight. He dropped 40 pounds to make the 265-pound limit. So this goes into all kinds of weight-cutting things that we want to talk about, but we're not going to get into that today because today is all about this and talking to Ken Shamrock. This one is a huge one to me. I have been a Ken Shamrock fan since the beginning. He, to me, will always be the world's most dangerous man, even when he went over to professional wrestling. But it was he's an icon, and he is a legend, and I want to talk to him today about that legend status. So coming up right after this, it is going to be Ken Shamrock on the phone with me talking all about it. So while we're at it, go like our good friends over at WarTape, at War Worldwide, or at WarTapeBrand.com. Check out our buddies over at Diamond MMA, DiamondMMA.com, the best one for groin shots. Maybe I should hook him up with Ken Shamrock. So, actually, I maybe really should do that. If you want to get any of those products, tell them that MMA Show sent you, and we will, you know, we'll always be pushing the good stuff out there. So, all right, guys, stick with us, because coming up next, it is going to be our full interview with Ken Shamrock right after this.
What's up, my fans? This is the only cartoon stupid enough to make fun of trained death machines, Tommy Tohol. You're listening to That MMA Show on Indio Radio.
Back at it here on That MMA Show. And guys, now, after Bellator 149, we have seen all kinds of controversy out there. There was the co-main event with Kimbo Slice and Dada 5000 that everybody had been talking about. And then there was the main event of the evening, which featured the trilogy between Royce Gracie and Ken Shamrock. It was ended very controversially, and I wanted to bring you straight from the source. So I went out and we were talking to Ken Shamrock. Ken, how you doing?
I'm okay for now. A little bit, put in a lot of work, sacrificed a lot of time, and, I'm getting through it. It's tough.
Well, Ken, let's talk about it just straight out the box here then. You know, a very, very controversial, you took a knee to the groin, you went down with that, the referee is standing right in front of you and yet doesn't call it, then the knee to the head comes. Just kind of talk us through the whole situation that led up to the knee and give us, you know, your thoughts of it as you went through it.
Well, I mean, I know a lot of people, half their thoughts about how the fight was going. It was a strategy set up by Guy Messi. We were going to use footwork to pressure Royce, get him in the corner, force him to make the clinch, force him to make the shot, force him to make the move by using footwork and just punches and kicks, just throwing at him close enough to keep him uncomfortable, making him work harder. Because I know he wanted to bring it into the later rounds, so he was going to run. We knew that. So we cut the ring off. We didn't chase, we didn't force anything, but we forced him to work and to close it on him using footwork and then force the clinch, which is exactly what happened. And Guy had told me before I went out there, remember, it's about winning the fight and staying to what we trained for. Kenny even said, the crowd might even boo if Royce is running and you're cutting off the ring and we're going by our game plan. The crowd may even boo, but don't let that force you into doing something that we didn't train for. And it unfolded exactly the way that we had set up the plan. It was that he ran, cut the ring off, everything was happy, he's in the crowd booed. And it got a little bit, but I remember what he said, don't jump at it, we got a plan. So I stayed true to my plan and forced him into a bad clinch by me throwing punches. We got into a clinch, I felt strong there, I felt great there, I even landed a shot in his face, and I felt, and just before that knee that he hit me in the groin with, as I was just getting ready to just step back and start throwing, and then the knee lands, and I bite my tongue with this because no one knows for sure whether it was done on purpose or not, but just the timing of it and the direction of it, and I've had fights with him twice before, and it's never been an issue.
Right.
It just makes me angry because we're professionals, and you don't just throw something just to throw it. And not have a direction for it.
It's all about controlling your weapons. We hear that all the time in the fighter meetings.
Well, you know, if we're professionals, we're not guys that are up and coming, that they have a tendency of moving around a lot, and those things can happen because you're moving too much, or you get out of position, or another guy throws something, and you move, and he actually hits you. I was standing still. I was standing right there throwing knees, and in the clinch with him, it wasn't like I was moving anywhere. So to me, it's in my gut, and it makes me angry, and that's why when I was yelling, I almost lost control because in my first thought was, man, you did that on purpose.
Right.
And I jumped up, and then I had to check myself because, you know, it's just not who I am anymore, and not how I should be acting. So for that, I apologize. That's why I said, so why are you apologizing? So I'm not apologizing for him or what he did. I'm apologizing for what I did.
Right.
And that was lose control.
Gotcha.
And so it pisses me off. And then when I hear people talk about the delayed reaction, it pisses me off because I tell them, what, am I supposed to drop because I feel pain? Am I supposed to just give up right now? So being a tough guy trying to fight the pain is now a bad thing?
Yeah, I did not understand that one at all. And as a matter of fact, whenever they play the replay and you hear Jimmy Smith talking that it went to your head and then they actually found the right replay, it became a whole other thing obvious that whenever you get hit low, I mean, one, it takes a couple of seconds for it to begin, and two, if it hurts, I mean, you're not going to sit there and just absolutely, like you said, drop down and go with it. So, you know, with that then, Ken, tell me a bit now about how this whole thing has played out. You trained incredibly hard for this fight, and I know that I was talking to Dez about it, your management, you know, how things were working out. We had talked a few times on Periscope. This was, I mean, a very, very legitimate fight that could have saved what has some have called a freak show co-main event. This really could have been the step up that have shown all of the old MMA fans like me who have been around since UFC 1 and 2. You know, a real nostalgia fight that we would have loved. Instead, you know, this happens, and now thankfully you are going to the commission about it, so it is good to hear. But, you know, just kind of talk us through your feelings of that.
Well, it is. I train hard, but I sacrificed a lot. I know my family sacrificed a lot. I was gone for 3 months. Went to Texas to train with one of my training partners in the old days, Guy Mesger, and worked with him. He even brought in my brother Frank to help work the corner. And I pulled out all the stops on this to make sure that when I'm stepping in, that there's going to be no mistakes. And I'm going to go in there and I'm going to give it all and let the cards fall where they fall. I felt pretty confident that I would be victorious. And even more so now with all this happening. Especially when I first clinched with him and moving around with him. I'd be very surprised if he gets in the ring with me again because he found his way out. That's what he did. He found a way out. But he knew that the fight was not going to go to the ground, that I would force him to stay where he didn't want to be. And he realized that a minute and a half in the fight, he realized that that's what was happening here. Ken was going to keep him on his feet. He's going to count him out. And he can't stop me from doing it.
So
and,
no. So with that, then, as I watched the fight, and I've watched it a couple of times since, you know, Hoist comes out and he seems very flat-footed. He's throwing these, you know, front little leg kicks that seem to be doing, you know, absolutely nothing. I mean, doesn't even seem to be bothering you at all. You know, did you feel just completely over, you know, so much stronger than he did whenever the clinch finally happened?
Yeah, even like when we were moving around in the ring and he was throwing all those things, I could tell he was getting frustrated. I could tell he was, which is what we were trying to do, is we were putting distance on him. We were cutting off the ring, and pretty soon he'd have nowhere to go. And then I could start unloading on him. And that's really what we were doing, was really just trying to just stalk him and make him throw all those little weird things that he does, make him work hard. And then once we get him where he can't move anymore, then we move in. And that's exactly what we did. We did exactly what we set out doing, and it was working to perfection. Even when I got into the clinch, I was like, man, this is going to be an easy fight. You know? I mean, like, there's nothing there. And even with, the foot movement, I was dealing with an amateur who was trying to stay alive by running and throwing all those little flailing kicks with some kid that was a scared trying to run from somebody that was a great boxer, you know, and they know they can't handle him. It really felt like that. It just felt like he was outclassed and outstrengthened, and he was running for his life.
So now, Ken, as we get into this, talk about now how the complaint came about, what's going to happen, what are your procedures, because I know that the Texas Athletic Commission is involved now, and how does all of that going to work, and when can we expect to hear something?
Well, we filed the complaint, and it was 2 days after, along with the commission. I had an attorney, which is Rod Donahue, who was one of my good attorneys, been around for a very long time. And we filed the complaint through the attorney with the Houston Athletic Commission. And we also now have gotten medical reports, because after the fight I had to, have some stuff done. So we filed the paperwork, so the doctor that examined me with the actual video footage and our complaint. So all the consensus is that, this should get overturned. It should be a no contest. If Royce doesn't fight me, he should be disqualified, and I should get the win. Because if we just do a no contest, then Royce will just disappear and vanish. But if he has to accept the loss, then there's pressure on him to have to get back in the ring and fight me. So I don't want him to just walk away from this, because I'm very, very, very confident that when in that first minute and a half, he realized that he was in trouble. And I believe that in my heart. And that's my opinion. So don't everybody start freaking out. That was just my opinion. And it's not a fact. It's an opinion. And so I believe to get him back in the ring again, it's going to have to take something more than just a no contest.
So, Ken, let me ask you this. Is the ultimate goal, do you want this fight again?
Absolutely. There's no doubt. I cannot even fathom walking away from the MMA world with this. This, to me, is a disgrace to the MMA world. It's a disgrace to anybody that allows this to go untouched and not dealt with. And most of all, you have ripped off the fans. You have ripped off the fans from seeing what they wanted to see. And listen, this isn't about world title fight. This isn't about top-ranked fighters. This isn't about up-and-coming fighters. These are about two legends who have helped create this sport, helped build this sport, and has sent out many, many different types of fights to entertain the fans over the years. And I love my fans, and I would hate to see them have to take this the way this is right now. It's just not fair.
I agree wholeheartedly in that. Now, Ken, let me ask you this. Do you feel that if Hoist Gracie does not fight you again in this, do you think that this tarnishes his legacy? And then also talk about what you think your legacy is, if this is going to be the last fight, or is this not how you want to go out?
Well, I haven't thought past that, but I can give you my thought process that, I don't know what I'll do. I really wanted the Gracie fight. I thought that would be a great way to really put an end to that legacy, with Gracie Chandon. And it didn't happen. It just happened. It was an embarrassment. What it does to Royce, I don't know. You know, I mean, that you know, I've seen weirder things happen, you know, where someone does something, you know, who knows. But for me, it'll hurt. It does. It'll hurt because it's not about anything but me being able to finish what I started and to be able to do what I want to do, you know, how I think I can perform. And, you know, I'm 52 years old. I'm in great shape. I feel good. When I put my mind to something, I can get it done. And I put my mind to this, and I wanted it. And it didn't happen, so therefore it makes it worse because it ended the way it did. It's like, the worst part is they awarded the fight on an equal blow. It has to be right. We can't leave it like that.
I am right with you there, Ken. So we are talking to Ken Shamrock, talking about Bellator 149 and all of the mishaps that went down here in the main event. So now, all right, Ken, I have one question out there. What do you want to say to all of the fans out there who were backing you in this fight? Because I will tell you, Ken, I talked to you before the Bellator fight with Kimbo Slice. I was at there. We talked during the media days and things like that. You looked in absolutely perfect shape for this fight coming into it with Royce Gracie. So talk about, you know, what message do you want to lay out to your fans about, you know, being ready, being everything like that, and hoping to get that fight again?
Well, I want to say this. You know, I had two fights with Bellator. This is to the fans. I went out and did my job against Kimbo. I took it down, I caught his back, and I choked with the cap. Whatever, was it a light cap, an easy cap, I don't know, but a cap. Things happened after that. Yeah, I had the skill to probably go out there and finish him. I didn't do it. I took responsibility for that fight. But where's the responsibility to everybody else taking their responsibility? They never, ever show that. But he did tap. And nevertheless, I still missed the call, even though it was quick. I go into my second fight. I do what I'm supposed to do. I build the fans. I talk to them. I do all the promotion. We break record numbers again. I go into the fight. I'm in great shape. My plan's going just right. Get a low blow. I hit the ground. And again, no fault of mine, I'm standing on the outside looking in again. I am truly sorry to all my fans for this. You know, I mean, I did everything I could possibly do to try to entertain you and to do what I needed to do in the ring, and it just seems like I can't get a fair shake. For that, I'm sorry. And I hope on my part, but more even on the fans' part, that we get another fight with
Royce Gracie. Well, I hope so also, Ken. Ken Shamrock, you are truly a legend in my book. I have been a fan literally since day one of this sport, and I greatly appreciate you coming on, talking to us about this, and you know, we will get this all out over the wire, so we will make it happen for you. Ken Shamrock, thank you so much for joining us today. How can everybody find you on social media if they want to talk about it, they want to congratulate you, they want to get some information? How do they find Ken Shamrock?
Yeah, you go to kenshamrock.com, and I've got all my social media sites on there, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, I got it. So come on in and check it out, man. I'm on there every day, obviously, with all the stuff happening, so I'm very much involved. But listen, you know, fans are very important to me, and I think that it's been pretty much obvious because I've always tried to prove it that I'm doing it. And I want that because I wouldn't do what I'm doing without them. So they're the strength right now. They're the ones that have a voice right now. My voice is small compared to theirs. They have a huge voice if they stand together and go, hey, listen, no more of this. This is our MMA. This is what we come to watch. This is what we pay money for. And we are not going to let you do this.
Love it, Ken. Ken Shamrock, thank you so much for joining us today here on That MMA Show.
All right, man. Listen, I appreciate it. God bless.
All right, guys, that was Ken Shamrock talking about the big Bellator 149 main event. Let me know what you think on Twitter at That MMA Show or on Facebook, facebook.com/That MMA Show. Man, this was a big one for us to get to Ken after this. Ken is a great guy. Thank you very much to his manager, Dez. So, all right, guys, we'll be right back with more That MMA Show right after this. Back at it here on That MMA Show, and big thank you to Ken Shamrock for joining us today. Lots of great information in there, and it is... Remember, it's all copyright, That MMA Show. For all you guys out there that want to use it, you let me know. So, all right, with that, guys, today we are going to call it quits for our big episode on Bellator 149. Remember to always follow us on Twitter at That MMA Show. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/That MMA Show. We are on Instagram. We are on Snapchat at Real That MMA Show, since apparently somebody out there had ours already. which, you know, you should give that back to me. But anyway, all right, guys, that is going to do it for today. And remember, as always, to fight clean, fight hard, fight fair, and we'll bring you the best in local, regional, national, and international MMA action right here on That MMA Show. Somebody says I'm out of control. Somebody's telling me I'm going insane. Speeding it up, count one, two, three. You better watch your back, because I'm crossing the lane. It's just turn it on.
You're listening to That MMA Show.